This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
In a few minutes, inshallah ta'ala, my brothers in Islam, let me share with you. Yani, I begin by saying, you know, like every task in life that one finishes, if you had a task in life and you finished it, you learn a lot of lessons from it. Whether it's a business transaction you had with someone, whether it's a worldly matter, it took you a few weeks, a few days to resolve, you learn a lot from tasks in life. And us as Muslims, we're supposed to reflect on our worship all the times and see what can we learn, what lessons, what life lessons do we learn from our worship. And we have just finished one of the greatest months in the Islamic calendar, and that is the month of Ramadan. It was a long month of fasting, a long month of Salat al-Taraweeh, a long month of reciting the Qur'an, making dua or dhikr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You realize that a person's life changes in Ramadan. Altogether, from the very beginning of the day until the end of the day, life changes in Ramadan. People get into this routine from the very first few days, and people love it because Muslims love their deen. But we've finished Ramadan now. And the question is, what did we learn from Ramadan? What are the life lessons that we learned from Ramadan that are supposed to continue with us after Ramadan? What are they? And I'm going to share with you in 4 points what we learned from Ramadan. Number one, first lesson we learned from Ramadan is the importance of worship. The importance of worship in the life of a believer. And that worship is the actual road and life of a believer. This is his life, it's worship. Why do I say this? Let know Aisha radiallahu anha, when she described the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the last 10 nights of Ramadan, she said, Ahya laylahu, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during the last 10 nights of Ramadan, he brought the night to life. He brought it to life. How did he bring it to life? By worship. By remaining awake the entire night worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, what brought his night to life? Worship. Yani, without worship, a person is dead. Because that's opposite to life. Without worship, a person is dead, motionless. Nothing. Here in the heart, it'll be dead. There won't be any effect. It won't connect with its master, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the first lesson we learn from Ramadan, that worship is a pathway in life. Where Aisha radiallahu anha, in another hadith, she described the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's first moment of the day and the last moment of the day. Imagine this. Yani, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every day, he slept and he woke up. What was the first thing he did in the first moment of the day he woke up? And what was the last thing he did in the last moment of the day when he went to sleep? Aisha radiallahu anha, she describes, كَانَ إِذَا قَامَ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَثَبْ, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he woke up at night and he got up from his bed, وَثَبْ, he jumped out of bed, he sprung out of bed. Yeah, and you know, like today, شوف انت today, how do people wake up? And then he gets up, rubbing his eyes for the next half a minute, then maybe on his phone, checking what messages he's got, what did he receive, then sitting on the side of the bed for a few minutes, you know, maybe speaking to his wife for another few minutes before he's up, before he's gone to make wudu. Relaxed attitude. That wasn't Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he got up at night, wathab, he jumped out of bed. Why? Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows that the one who wants to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't waste a single second. Cannot waste a single second. So he jumped out of his bed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the first thing he would do is he would start with his siwak, which is a great worship. He'd begin with a siwak. And the siwak, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it is a means, a piece of stick. It is a means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the servant. As-siwaku marbatun lil-rabbi matharatun lil-fam. It's a purification for the mouth, and it is a means to earn Allah's pleasure and love. This is what he would start off with. And he would say, Alhamdulillah, alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi an-nushur. This is the first words on his tongue, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he woke up. What does it mean? Alhamdulillah, he's praising Allah. You and I, you know, you say Alhamdulillah when you receive a gift in life. when you see a blessing in your life, when your wife finally gives birth, alhamdulillah, when something goes right for you, alhamdulillah. Why is he saying alhamdulillah? Because he realizes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that being given one more day to live is a huge blessing. So the first words he says is alhamdulillah, that he gave us life after he had caused death upon us. Who guaranteed that you deserve to live one more day? Do you have anything in your records that proves you deserve to live one more day? Even the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realizes and acknowledges that he doesn't deserve another day on earth. So he realizes this is a blessing and a blessing and a favor and a grand gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. And how does he thank Allah for this day? He jumps out of bed, straight to as-siwak, straight to as-salat. Whatever Allah Azza wa Jal allows him to pray of the night, and he prays. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's the first moment in the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's the last moment in the day of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Aisha radiallahu anha, she says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to her, just before he is going to close his eyes and just about he sleeps, he says to her, Ya Aisha, Inna aini tanam wala yanamu qalbi. He says, Oh Aisha, he's under the bed now, he's about to sleep. He says, my eyes, they take a rest, they close, they sleep. But my heart doesn't sleep. My heart doesn't sleep. The heart's connected with Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sleeps upon a pure intention, upon a good intention. He sleeps upon dhikrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sleeps upon adhkarul layl, adhkarul nawm, the dhikr that you're supposed to say before you sleep. That's how he sleeps sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his heart remains awake, doesn't sleep. Well, unfortunately today, you have a situation today. People today, all of us, not only our eyes sleep, our heart sleeps as well before the eye. How? We're thinking and we're planning, what are we going to do tomorrow? What kind of work we're going to attend to tomorrow? How am I going to respond to this person tomorrow? What am I going to write up tomorrow? How am I going to quote this job tomorrow? How am I going to go to work tomorrow? You're thinking about these things. Ya khinta, relax. You have an entire life of worship. You skipped all that and you went there. You see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked him, what's the difference? Today, people back in the days, they used to wake up for Salat al-Fajr, for the night prayers, with no alarm. There was no alarm. You can't get your iPhone out and put an alarm and set it and multiple alarms. That option wasn't available. The heart would wake him up. Then if the heart was awake, it would wake him up. Never today. An alarm and two alarms and three alarms and snooze and press. And people are still sleeping through Salat al-Fajr and don't see a big deal in it. Doesn't matter. Allah, whenever I wake up, I pray. Either because the heart was asleep. It did not sleep upon a correct and a sincere and a good pure intention. This is why Allah Azza wa Jal tested us with this. For we need to understand Ramadan was teaching us that worship is a way of life. You need to be serious in your worship to Allah Azza wa Jal. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Khayrukum, the best of you. Who at the land right now we're sitting? Who's the best among us? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Man tala umuruhu wa hasuna amaluh. The one who lived a long life. But not only just a long life, he lived days on earth. وَحَسُنَ عَمَلُهُ And his deeds during these days that he lived were perfected, were good. He looked after his worship. He was concerned with his worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers in Islam, here in this country we live in, Allah azza wa jal has given us so many blessings. Too many blessings. You can't even count. You can't even, even if you set to calculate them, you cannot. Allah azza wa jal, he said, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا If you were to count the blessings of Allah, you cannot amass them. You won't come to a total. Like, why am I saying this? Surah At-Tawbah, Allah Azza wa Jal, he tells us about people that he gave so much. He said, فَلَمَّا آتَاهُم مِّن فَضْلِهِ Allah is warning of this, in this ayah not to be from these people. فَلَمَّا آتَاهُم مِّن فَضْلِهِ When he gave them from his blessings, he gave them health. People now are in the hospital. They're not enjoying the health you're enjoying right now. He gave them health. He gave them time. He gave them money. He gave them work. He gave them partners. He gave them children. Allahu Akbar. What else do you want? He gave them peace. You live in a country that's full of peace and security. Surely, is there anything more of these blessings to enjoy? How did this person respond to these? Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, "Bakhilu bihi." They became stingy. What does that mean? Meaning they became stingy concerning their time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They became stingy with Allah for their time. Allah Azza wa Jalla tells them to engage in worship. Manara wa Allah, I don't have time. I don't have time. How? How can a person really say to Allah, I didn't have time for your deen? I didn't have time for the masjid. In Ramadan, things were different, brother. But now, things are totally different. I don't have time to come for Salat al-Isha. I don't have time to come to Salat al-Fajr. I'm back into routine, brother. I'm back into work. I don't have time. Tayyib, I'll ask you something. 2 hours on Facebook you spend. Where did you get these 2 hours from? 2 hours on WhatsApp every day. Where did you get them from? 2 hours surfing and rubbish. Where did you get these hours from? And you were saying you didn't have time. Look into your phone, into the log, into screen time. It'll expose you. Judge yourself now before Allah Azza wa Jal judges you. Where do you get this time from? Well, you come to Allah Azza wa Jal, 15 minutes you don't have to come to Salat al-Fajr, Salat al-Isha. Here is your reality. Al-Masjid is empty today. Yesterday it was empty. It's not like it was in the days of Ramadan. What happened? What happened? You were supposed to learn in Ramadan the importance of worship. Came out of Ramadan, you don't know what worship is. فَلَمَّا أَتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ Allah gave him so much. So that you can give back Allah so much. Instead, بَخِلُوا بِهِ They became stingy. وَتَوَلَّوْا And they turned away. وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ Not interested. وَتَوَلَّوْا وَهُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ What happened as a result? فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ Allah placed hypocrisy in their heart. بِمَا أَخْلَفُوا اللَّهَ مَا وَعَدُوهُ وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ Called them liars. You don't have time? Liar. You have time. This is the biggest lesson you're supposed to learn in Ramadan. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith, so you can understand, why are you supposed to continue in your worship after Ramadan and not fall back? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّ الْإِيمَانَ لَيَخْلَقُ فِي جَوْفِ أَحَدِكُمْ That al-Iman, it wears and it tears and it weakens inside of one of you. يعني الإيمان, it wears, it tears and it weakens inside your heart. الإيمان is like water. Continuously you need to drink. It's not something you're given and khalas, that's it, you're guaranteed for the rest of your life. Up and down, up and down. Now after Ramadan, it dives down. You're supposed to recognize this. But you know why we don't recognize it? What's the hadith tells us why we don't recognize it. Because he said, "Fi jawfi ahadikum." It weakens inside of you. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Kama yakhlaqu thawb." That iman wears and tears, just like clothing, just like your dress wears and tears. The problem is your dress is on the outside. You know, if I was to wear this abaya for another year, straight every day, by the end of that year, it begins, something will rip here, there will be discoloring here, probably the button would come off. And it's normal, because it's a dress you're wearing, obviously. But you'll realize, people will see you. They're like, bad lady. What's this embarrassment? Go and buy a new dress, brother, look at this. Look at your figure, look what you're wearing. But an iman that wears and tears and weakens, who's going to point it out to you? No one other than yourself, because fi jawfi ahadikum inside. Even this is a disaster. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying your iman wears and tears. It gets destroyed. So what are we supposed to do? Hadith at the end gives you a solution. He says, فَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ أَن يُجَدِّدَ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ Ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He renews the iman in your heart. This is the solution. That you are supposed to find ways to renew the iman. Attend Salat al-Fajr. That's a renewal of iman. Attend Salat al-Isha. Attend the lesson. Attend the lesson once a week. It renews the iman. Come to Salat al-Jum'ah early. Sit 15 minutes. Say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And continue. These are ways in how you renew the iman. Memorize one ayah a day. Memorize one ayah a week of the Qur'an. Yeah, no problems. Quran isn't only for mashayikh and learned people to memorize it. It's for all of us. And easy, go on your pace, don't worry about anyone. One ayah a week recharges the heart. Renew the iman in the heart. Otherwise, you're just going to die. Ramadan didn't do anything to you. Then the first huge lesson we're learning from Ramadan is that worship is a way of life. Not just a month, a way of life. And if you continue in your worship, bi-ithnillah, you learn that lesson. Lesson number two. We learn that repentance is a way of life. To repent to Allah on a consistent basis is a way of life. Repentance. Repentance is not only for sinners. Repentance is for everyone. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Those who do not ask Allah for tawbah, they're the wrongdoers. Should be repenting every moment. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He gave us Ramadan. And He legislated for us fasting. Where did fasting originate from? You know, the fasting is a tawbah in itself. Fasting 30 days is a tawbah in itself. That's why I'm saying the biggest lesson you learn after Ramadan is that repentance is a way of life. How is tawbah? How is fasting a tawbah? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam in the paradise, He allowed him to roam in the paradise freely and eat anything he wants except from one tree. Eventually, as shaitan dragged Adam alayhi salam until he got him to this tree, and he tasted and he ate from this tree, Adam alayhi salam. And that was a sin. And as a result, because of this sin, which was consuming something, as a result, Allah Azza wa Jal took him from paradise to a life of misery on earth. You see, this is the effect of sins. And this is just a sin of eating something haram. He went from paradise to a life of misery and worry and tests and trials and depression and distress. This is the worldly life we live. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated for every nation fasting. As though into your biggest sin that took you from the paradise to earth was because you ate something. So fast. Fast as a tawbah from what you ate. And this is just eating. Imagine eating the people's money unlawfully. Imagine cheating people in business. Imagine eating your brother's flesh when you backbite. And you curse and you swear and you slander. Imagine that. But just eating something from the tree which has nothing to do with anyone. It's just the sin that affects me. It got us out of the paradise onto earth. And we were given days to fast tawbah from that. And every year it continues. Like, how much worse is it when you eat someone's money and eat someone's flesh? It's a problem. Even Ramadan taught us that a tawbah is a way of life. A tawbah is a way of life. Every day you make tawbah. Every day you conclude your day with a tawbah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, qoo anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, Allah is speaking to believers. Yaninta, if you're true and you claim that you're a believer, listen up. Allah is saying, save yourself and your family from a fire. But the question is, how do I save myself and my family from the fire? What's the best way possible? Two ayat after it, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, toobu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. You're looking for a means to save yourself and your family from the fire? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, O you who believe, make a sincere tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Tawbatan nasuha. Absolute sincere tawbah. Every day you sleep upon a sincere tawbah. So that if Allah Azza wa Jalla was to take you away, bi-ithnillah, you're in good shape when you meet Allah Azza wa Jalla. Every day a tawbah. That no Ramadan, every day was a tawbah. The fact that you fasted, that day was a tawbah. Next day you fasted, that day was a tawbah. For 30 days you were making tawbah continuously, whether you're aware of it or not. It was accepted as a tawbah. And this is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam legislated that after Ramadan, in this blessed month of Shawwal, we fast 6 days. Because when you fast 6 days with Ramadan, it's equal to as though you have fasted an entire year. So that when you stand before Allah Azza wa Jal, there is a possibility that you fasted every day of your life from your sins. That's what it is. It's like you fasted every day of your life, and fasting is a repentance like you have repented for every day of your life. Don't waste this opportunity. Worship continues. Third lesson we learned from Ramadan. This is the second last lesson. In Ramadan, during the last 10 days, There was a special worship in the last 10 days, 10 nights. That was the worship of al-i'tikaf. You're familiar with what i'tikaf is? Sleeping in the masjid. 10 days and 10 nights. It's difficult. That's why not a lot of people do it. You gotta sacrifice everything, even your family, your own children, sit in the masjid, eat whatever the masjid provides. It's tough. Shower in the facilities that the masjid provides for you. People went out of their way and did it. Oh, may Allah Azza wa Jal reward them. But not a lot of people did it. But now at the end of Ramadan and that the period of i'tikaf has finished, what do we learn from it? You know, there's something better than i'tikaf? Better than i'tikaf. And this is one of the lessons we learn from Ramadan. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَلَأَنْ أَمْشِيَ مَعَ أَخٍ لِي فِي حَاجَةٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَعْتَكِفَ فِي مَسْجِدِي هَذَا شَهْرًا. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, that for me to walk with my brother, to assist him in a difficulty he has in life, is much better and more beloved to me than to perform i'tikaf in al-masjid al-nabawi for 1 month. Hada, just to walk with your brother and assist him in his need, not necessarily resolving it for him. That's just the reward. You accompanied him, you walked with him, you tried your best. It's better than making and performing i'tikaf for 1 month in al-masjid al-nabawi. How much is it going to cost you to take a ticket now, go to al-Madinah, sit in the masjid for 1 month, organize your food, organize whatever it is you have to, how much is it going to cost? A lot. All of that. And it's still in its reward, it won't equal to just walking with your brother to assist him. Even Ramadan teaches us that we look after one another. Ramadan, 30 days, we prayed next to each other. We stood for hours next to each other. We broke our fast together. And then all of a sudden you don't know who your brother is. Yani, assisting your brother in worldly needs and in religious needs. Not only worldly needs. You know, someone that is in a difficult situation, financial difficulty, help him, brother. Help him. Doesn't matter. Dunya, dunya, this goes, it goes, money goes. Dunya, dunya, it goes. Someone, once I was in a masjid, in a lesson, and someone asked a question. He said, Sheikh, to a sheikh that was teaching us, he goes, can we ever compete with the Sahaba or be like them or better? He said, brother, are you ready to get up now and give half your money to the brother next to you? Then sit and don't talk. That's how the companions were. You want to compete with them? Do that. When you tell him, brother, help the community. Help your community. Pull out some money, brother. Help. Dunya, it doesn't matter. It goes, it comes. He's holding like this. Zakat al-Mali couldn't even pull it out of him. Zakat al-Fudl, he didn't even pay on time. What's his attitude? What, you want al-Jannah? And $100 you can't give to someone in need? What Jannah are you asking for? Yaqi, prove, show Allah Azza wa Jalla you want the paradise. It's going to cost me $100, then take it. I don't want it. Last 10 days of Ramadan, this is what it's teaching us. We look after each other. And then the best part of that hadith, at the end of it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَمَنْ مَشَى مَعَ أَخِيهِ فِي حَاجَةٍ حَتَّى تَتَهَيَّأْ أَثْبَتَ اللَّهُ قَدَمَهُ يَوْمَ تَزُولُ الْأَقْدَامِ. And whoever walked with his brother to assist him in a difficulty, and he solved it for him, Allah Azza wa Jal will make his foot firm on the day of judgment, when he stands on the sirat, on a day, tazulul aqdam, when the feet will be shaking on that day, when the legs will be shaking from terror and falling straight into Jahannam. Wanta, Allah Azza wa Jal has given you firmness on a sirat. You walk on it like there's nothing to worry about. Why? Because one day, in this world of life, you plan to go all out in helping a brother in his need. Akhalas, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to help him. In hope that Allah Azza wa Jal gives me firmness when I walk on a sirat. I look left and right, people are dropping, people are shaking, but I'm walking. Then I decided to help. What is it? Helping your brother and assisting. People have debts on their back. It's the biggest problem and worry in their life. Want Allah Azza wa Jal has given you so much. It wasn't difficult for you to say, brother, I'll look after you here. Done, finished. Be with you, you got that reward. Now just preserve your deeds so you can meet Allah Azza wa Jal with that. And final lesson we learn, my brothers in Islam, and we conclude with this. In Ramadan, one of the biggest lessons you can learn is we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's generosity upon us. Karamillah, we get to know Allah azza wa jalla's generosity. How? Allah gave us a night that is worth more than 1,000 months in worship. Show al karam. You see Allah's generosity? Oh, we didn't even ask for it. We didn't even ask for it. And Allah's looking after our religious matters, our matters of worship. If Allah azza wa jalla was so generous with us in our matters of worship, which is the most important thing you have in life, wouldn't you assume that He'll be much more generous with you in matters of worldly life that are ridiculous, that are nothing to Allah azza wa jalla? Allah gave this dunya to anyone He wants. Allah looked after your worship. There's people sitting among us now that Allah azza wa jalla has added into their good deeds account a lifetime of worship. That's generous. Karamillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Idhanita, you saw Allah's generosity upon you. We all saw it. The nights and the days didn't go to waste. But then they didn't go to waste. Allah gave us, not two times, three times, 1,000 months and better. Yani something that cannot be calculated. This is why I don't like reading it's equal to 83.3 months. What are you doing? What are you calculating? Hey, the stinginess, Yaqi. Why ain't there? You're calculating exactly what Allah is giving. Allah told you better than that. Allah's generous, man. You don't have to sit down and calculate what He's given you. Don't worry about that. Al-Hasanat, Allah preserves them. Count your sins. Go make a tally about your sins. Worry about that. Have you asked repentance and tawbah from each and every single one of them? Have you taken someone's right unlawfully? Go and give it back. Yeah, don't worry about that. Don't worry about the Al-Hasanat that Allah gives. Allah's generous. This is why Aisha radiallahu anha, she says radiallahu anha, sallallahu kulla shay. Ask Allah for everything. Ask Allah for everything. Hatta shisa'a. And ask Him for shisa'a. What's that? It's a shoelace. Ask Allah for everything, even if it's a shoelace. Okay, qadiman, yani, in the past, when people wanted salt in their food, they would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then she said, why? She said, فَإِنَّهُ إِن لَمْ يُيَسِّرْهُ اللَّهُ لَمْ يَتَيَسَّرْ. Ask Allah for everything, even if it's a shoelace. Because if Allah doesn't make it possible, no one will make it possible. At the end of story, if Allah doesn't make it possible, and He doesn't grant you your request, no one will be able to do anything for you. لَمْ يَتَيَسَّرْ. خَلَاص, أَبَدًا, what? Look, Allah is generous. You want something, ask Allah. Don't run to the people first. It's good. You run to the people, ask for assistance, take my worldly means, no problems. But ultimately your relationship with Allah must be bigger than anything. Ask Him when you're in a problem, you ask Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yunus alayhi salam, when he ended up in the belly of the whale, you can imagine that, it's like the bottom, darkness, pitch black in his life. He reached rock bottom in his life. No one had the means to help him. He didn't have the means to help him own self. What's he going to do? He made a dua to Allah. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. He wasn't worried about his problem. He was worried about his relationship with Allah. As a result, Allah saved him. He asked Allah, ask Allah, ask Allah azza wa jalla to relieve you from your burdens, from your worries. Allah will give you, bi-ithnillah.
Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah. It pious person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah.